If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Change is necessary. Children of Israel decided that they needed a change. So they said, Lord, give us a king like all the other nations have, because we have grown weary in following you. That was a change. I never said that all change is good. The school district changed when they took prayer out of the school. That was the worst change they ever made. Just look at the deterioration of our schools when they kicked God out. Can you imagine? God came to school that day and the security says you can't come in. And after that, everything just went downhill. Performance, behavior, it extended to the family. Because at least when we came to school, if we weren't going to church, we had Bible every day. Amen. I don't care if it was songs. I mean, they didn't give you Song of Solomon. They gave you Proverbs and Psalms. In fact, that's where I learned Ecclesiastes 3 about times and seasons in my second grade assembly in 1997. But our children today don't have that concept of God. So when God was removed, look at all the dominoes that fell. Performance, behavior, and also the worldview of God was now damaged. They no longer understood who God was. That wasn't a good change. And I'm sad to say that that same change is happening in the church. We don't want God anymore. We want our preachers to be charismatic. We want them to be everything to us. And we're supposed to be representatives of God. Amen. Not touchy-feely for the people. And so they said, God, we don't want you anymore. We want a king. And God said, all right. But let me tell you something. This is what a king is going to do. He's going to send your sons off to war. He's going to tax you into oblivion and just make your life miserable. They said, that's okay. We'd rather have a miserable king than a good God. Wow. And God said, all right. And so they chose Saul. And Saul was anointed with a bowl of oil, which was a bowl is something that's made by man. And that lets us know that he was man's choice. God went along with it because he cursed, blessed us with freedom of choice. Cursed, blessed. Someone said, who was responsible for the first fall of man? Well, Satan, sure enough, was there in the serpent. The man was responsible because he violated the commandment. The woman was responsible because she brought the man the fruit, had him join her. And God was responsible. I'm not suggesting that God was the cause of sin, but he was responsible by giving freedom of choice. For some reason, God opted to keep us from being robots. And here's why I believe it. Willing love is better than forced behavior. Yes, he could have forced us to live right, but then he would be forcing us to love him. And he didn't want that. He wanted us to willingly love him. So he opts to say, all right, I'm going to take the risk that in order for them to love me with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'm going to give them the ability to disobey me. That's how much he loves us, that he's willing to take that chance. What do you do with it? So they chose Saul. And Saul's heart was revealed through his office. He started out prophesying, and then he thought he could challenge the responsibilities of the priest-prophet and started performing the sacrifices in the absence of Samuel. And Samuel comes up and says, what have you done? You don't do this. He says, you should have waited till I showed up. He said, man, the people were beginning to question, and I couldn't have that. So I stepped into your role. And Samuel says, you messed up, man. But God is going to give you another test. When you get down to those Amalekites, kill them all. Because they came up behind Israel and tried to annihilate them, kill everyone and the animals as well. Samuel went down to fight the Amalekites and discovered that the king was in a compromising mood, and the king began to talk and share, and Saul said, well, we ain't gonna kill you. And the people said, man, look here, these are the best sheep and the best critters, let's keep them alive. And Saul said, all right, if that's what you want. And Samuel came to town. And Saul goes out to meet him, and Samuel says, did you do what I told you? He said, yes, I did. He said, then what's this bleating of sheep that I hear? You lie like a Persian rug. He said, well, hold on now. He said, the king decided he wasn't going to hurt us anymore, and the people wanted the good critters. He said, didn't you know that it is better to obey than to sacrifice? He said, now, wait a minute. He said, now listen, Samuel, you can't come in here jumping on me. I'm the king. And Samuel said, because you rejected the instruction of the Lord, God has rejected you. It's time for a change. I need me somebody in that position who's going to obey me regardless of what anybody else says. I'm not looking for a perfect man. I'm looking for a forgiven man. I'm looking for somebody that'll say yes when everybody else wants him to say no. And as Samuel began to walk away from Saul, Saul reached out and grabbed Samuel's garment and tore it and ripped the bottom part of it away. And Samuel turned around and said, just like you tore my clothes, God is going to tear this kingdom from you. It wasn't right away. He walked away and God said, now get your horn. Don't get some vial. Get the ram's horn. Only I can make a ram's horn. And you fill it with oil because you're about to make the most significant change in the history of Israel. You are going to pick the person that I want. I need you theologians to grab this with me. I don't want you to have a king because that represents pulling away from me. But if you are determined to have an earthly representative, at least let me pick them for you. If you are determined to have somebody to represent you to the nations, then let me determine who that will be. Because you are picking by the outside. You are picking by the face, by the strength, by the size, by the gift. He said, but I'm picking by the heart. So Samuel, get your horn. For I have provided me a king out of Bethlehem. Two kings are coming out of Bethlehem. The first one is David. The second one is Jesus. Samuel contacts Jesse, comes down to his house. They say to him in 1 Samuel 16, the elders saw him coming in verse 4, and they said, are you coming peaceably? And he said, peaceably. And he sanctifies Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And when Jesse, I need you to see this, he brought his sons, but he didn't bring the one God wanted. Because for some reason, when God's about to facilitate change, we always think it's through the people that we've had our eye on. We think it's through the people that we've selected. We think it's through the people that owe us allegiance. And so we miss what God is doing because we're stuck on what God has done. Forget the past. This is for the spiritually mature. You need to even forget your past victories. Don't even hold on to your past victories. Let them go. So God will give you new victories, new testimonies. Aren't you tired of having the same testimony? I found Jesus down at the Met. I rolled in the sawdust in 1954. This is 2016. Are you telling me that from 1954 till 2016, God has not done something new for you? Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every day. That means today I've got a new testimony from tomorrow. I'll have a new testimony from yesterday. God has done something great. In 1 Samuel 16 is that when God, and you need to get this, as we move forward as a congregation, as we move forward in the body of Christ, God wants to change things. but he uses people to do them. I was with some pastors the other day, and the subject of prayer came up, and I'm a bit conservative in Christian issues. And they started saying prayer changes things. I said, no, it don't. It changes people. Then God uses the people to change things. You pray all you want, or those columns ain't going to change. But God gives you eyes and wisdom to build around them. Stop looking for God to change things. Don't, God, you got to give me more money. God, you got to change things. God said, no, what you need to ask for is a lessening of your lust. Stop asking for what you can't afford. Even Samuel in verse 6 said he looked on Eliab. And when he looked at Eliab, he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said, don't you look at his countenance or on the height of his stature. Listen to this, because I have refused him. Do you know we draw conclusions about people based on what we think is wrong? Do you know we draw conclusions about people based on their doctrine? Oh, don't make Pastor Aaron a pastor because he don't believe in speaking in tongues. Don't make Pastor Martin a pastor because he doesn't believe in the Trinity of God. How does that stop me from making him a pastor? You don't have to believe in the Trinity to care for God's sheep. Why do we do that? I can just see the angels getting together and grabbing hold of God and said, don't call the apostle. Don't call Paul. Don't call Saul. He don't believe in Jesus. Here's what God said. Maybe not now. Maybe he don't believe in speaking in tongues now. But the moment he starts pastoring, he'll speak in tongues. Maybe he don't believe in the Trinity right now, but the moment he's got to sit there all night and counsel, he'll start calling Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Mary, Joseph, Isaiah, Jeremiah. He'll believe in everybody. What God is saying is, don't put people in your theological box just because I'm making a choice for them and you're not comfortable with them right now. Give God a chance to work on them and change what needs to be changed. Don't deny somebody because they're not what you want them to be right now.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1516A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
Yosemite.
Kimmel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.